Call Saul.
And that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque.
Let's get back to the locker room with Bob Brown on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Bob is taking your calls at 994-1017, 994-1017, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at 101.7 The Team. And now, it's the locker room and Bob Brown.
Good afternoon and welcome to the locker room. Hello, everybody. Thanks for dialing us up, tuning us in. We have made it, Mikey. We have made it. Well, we're almost there. Two more hours. A little less than 2 hours. High school hoops coming your way tonight on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Albuquerque High at La Cueva will have it for you. The pregame starts at 6:45. Tip-off slated for 7 o'clock. Again, you can catch it right here on your hometown radio station. So it's Friday. It's Friday. We've been trying to get this guest to come on the show. We saw him on Rich Eisen's show about a year ago. He said, he's a sports guy, man. We got to get him on here. Got these playoff games this week, and he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Don't hate me.
So we invited him to come by the studio. Fresh off the set. Can we say that?
Absolutely.
Fresh off the set. My pleasure to welcome into the locker room Patrick Fabian. He plays Howard Hamlin on the hit series Better Call Saul, and he is our guest this afternoon. He's going to hang around for a couple of segments, and Howard has said he'll take a couple of calls, too. So if you want to call the show, you can join the program. You got a question for Patrick Fabian. He'd love to talk with you. Man, you look fantastic.
Thank you. I just got done, Hank, walking up Sandia. So, you know, I got my legs underneath me now.
How far up did you go?
Well, I didn't do the whole thing. I only did about halfway, about 3.2 miles. There's a great sort of landing. You can get a great picture that makes it look like you're going to go to the top. And I came back down. I was hiking alone because the first time I went up La Luz, her name, I think, was Kelly. She was a girl who worked at the Hilton uptown. And she said, I was going to go hike La Luz. And I said, can I do that right now? And she goes, oh, yeah, I think I did that when I was in seventh grade. So I thought, if a seventh grade girl can hike La Luz, yeah, I'll just go.
Go up and back, no problem.
So I took one bottle of water and I started walking by myself. And I parked at the bottom of the tram. So it's 2 miles to traverse over there. And then you start the 7 miles up. Well, about 4.5 miles up, all of a sudden, one, I'm thirsty. Two, I'm bonking because I've got nothing to eat. My phone doesn't work. And all of a sudden, my lungs are heavy. I'm looking around. I'm sitting down. And I'm like, oh, this is how you die on the mountain. And I thought, I'm going to be a headline tomorrow in the New Mexico News, right? Albuquerque paper is going to have another stupid Californian dies on La Luz because he didn't know enough. But I made it to the top, trammed my way down. So today I was going by myself. I just went halfway up.
You're an athlete too, right?
I do triathlons, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
You look like you're in pretty good shape.
Thank you very much. Every year I've been doing the it's Nautica Malibu Triathlon, and they raise money for Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. We do that at Zuma Beach. Actually, Jonathan Banks could probably throw stones at us from the beach that I'm swimming in every morning.
So you do that, and you get a little training. So you're working on the show here, and then you're at elevation as well. You get to train here.
Yeah, the elevation's good, you know. And Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul on the show, he's a big biker, and he's got me into biking out here as well. And I love to swim. So, you know, the local high school, Sandia High School, I've been swimming there a lot for the past 3 years. Great pool.
Had you come to Albuquerque before you got the gig with Better Call Saul?
You know, I had done one TV show here. I think it was called Crash. That was here. But at the time, I had no concept of New Mexico, the desert, or what it was. I basically came in, stayed at the Nativo, and went to set, worked 2 days, and went home. So my impressions were very slight. It wasn't until, I saw and I got to come out here, I really got to see, you know, the skies, the clouds, hiking. I go to Tent Rocks all the time and Petroglyph and, you know, watching the aspens change up in Santa Fe. I've really fallen in love with it.
My wife and I love Tent Rocks going up there.
I'm going to probably go up sometime this weekend.
There are sometimes, though, busy weekend. You get up there and it's like a line to try to get through some of those rocks on the way up or down.
You got to get there. Yeah. You got to get up, get early, get coffee, man. Otherwise, you're dead.
I don't get up too early, though. I'm not an early person.
Well, so. you got the afternoon job. I get it.
All right, so were you a fan of Breaking Bad before the whole Better Call Saul prequel came out?
I hate to tell the story, but it's the truth. I had never watched it. My wife and I watched the pilot, but she was, I guess, 8 or 9 months pregnant. So we're on the couch, we're watching this show. She's rubbing Miracle of Life in her belly. The show ends, and she turns to me and she goes, "Yeah, I'm not on board with this one." So we did start watching it. We had one kid. We had a second kid. So I ended up knowing everything about Clifford the Big Red Dog and Super Why, but I missed Breaking Bad. Literally, even that last season. Like, I saw all the billboards in Los Angeles, but it's amazing how somebody can slip through the cracks, you know, and I'm in the business. But part of me is like, well, I'm not going to catch up. So I just managed not to see any of it. So when I got the audition for Better Call Saul, I mean, it's kind of good that I didn't, because I think the pressure of knowing what it was may have really gotten into my head. And instead, you know, I went in sort of blind.
So what was that like when you got the call and you went in for the audition for Better Call Saul?
Well, I'll try and condense this fast. But, I mean, at the time, the phone was not ringing, and I was doing what a lot of actors do in Los Angeles, was wondering why they decided to become an actor, right? So I'm sitting there and trying to find something to do and going crazy a little bit, and I get a call. And they say, you have an audition for Better Call Saul, which I knew was the sequel or prequel for Breaking Bad. But I got like two or three pages of audition sides, no script, no nothing. And I thought, well, for gosh sakes, that's like putting me on a carousel with a single dart and a target 50 yards away saying, throw it. So the casting directors, Sherry Thomas and Sharon Bialy, they also cast The Walking Dead. And I hadn't seen those girls in a long time. And I thought, ooh, well, they're going to get a movie star for Saul. So, but if I go in and see these girls, maybe, just maybe, I could be somebody who gets eaten by a zombie on The Walking Dead. So that was sort of my goal. So I go in. And I do my thing, and I walk away, and I thought, well, that was pretty good. And then when I got the call from them, I thought, oh, good, I'm going to get eaten by a zombie. And instead, they said Vince Gilligan had seen the tape, and he wanted to have you come back. So, you know, the rest is kind of history.
And the role of this high-powered lawyer. I'm a little disappointed in you, Patrick. I expect you to show up in a suit today with the tie all buttoned down
I'm
and everything.
So
and you got the Pittsburgh
sorry.
Steelers vintage jersey going here.
I know. I'm wearing my colors. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and I come from Harrisburg, which is sort of dead center of the state. So you either pick Philly or you pick Pittsburgh. And I had relatives from Pittsburgh. I grew up during the Terry Bradshaw era. I had Franco Harris on my wall, Jack Lambert on my wall.
That was my team back in the day, man.
Yeah.
Rocky Blyer,
absolutely.
You know who my Mel Blunt was my guy.
Mel Blunt, LC Greenwood, all those guys. I thought
Robin Cole, friend of the program,
whoa.
New Mexico guy.
There you go. I didn't know he was a New Mexico guy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple of. I got to see a game in Three Rivers before they tore it down. I've seen a couple of games at Heinz Field. So I'm a big homer for the Steelers.
Favorite player of all time with the Steelers. Who is it?
Oh, you know, Franco, because I met him. He was so nice when I was a kid, and he signed a jersey, and I just thought the world of him, you know.
You can remember the Immaculate Reception like it was yesterday.
You know, I don't.
You're a little kid.
I was a little kid.
How, 5 or 6 years old, maybe?
I think at that point, you're just cheering because the house is cheering.
Yeah.
I don't think I really knew what was going on.
How about Terry Bradshaw? Are you a fan of Terry Bradshaw?
You know, because of Better Call Saul, crazy things happen. So I get to go to the Emmy Awards for the first time in my life. So I find myself, you know, I'm from a podunk town in Pennsylvania, and I find myself, because of Better Call Saul, on the carpet at the Emmy Awards. And I'm like, that's crazy. How am I here? And I'm seeing all the people, because I'm still, you know, a fan, and I'm watching all these stars walking past me, and it's all this crazy stuff, and people are coming up to me to say, hey, I love your show. So it's really surreal.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep my head about me, and then all of a sudden I look up, and there's Fox Sports, and there's Terry Bradshaw, and they're doing a live broadcast, because I guess that year the Emmys were being broadcast on Fox. And I say to the person who's working with me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it would be great to get up there. But, you know, I can't. We're on a brand new show, and there's clearly, like, there's some stars getting up there. So we keep walking by. And then all of a sudden, the girl who I'm working with, this publicity girl, she comes up to me. She goes, you want to go talk to these guys? And I'm like, yeah. So she goes, come up here. The guy who was working with him is a fan of Better Call Saul. And he goes, you want to come up and talk?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. And he goes, do you know football? I said, you want to talk about the Steeler game from yesterday? And he's like, yeah. So get up there, and all of a sudden I go live with Terry Bradshaw, and we start talking Steeler football. And honestly, we talk for a couple of minutes. He has no idea who I am, by the way. He has no idea what the show is, but he's so nice.
Yeah.
Shakes my hand, listens to me pratter on for a second, and then it ends, and I say to the girl who's working publicity for the show, we haven't even gone into the awards show, by the way, yet, and I say, I'm done. I can go home. That's good. That was enough for me right there.
I don't know how many times I've heard – you know, actors or famous people that are sports fans, they love it because they get these opportunities to meet all these sports people they grew up admiring, you know, hero worshiping. Like, hey, you're supposed to be the star, but yet you see these star athletes, you're like, I would have never got the opportunity to meet this person.
Well, you know, for all the things that I do in terms of like working on set or doing those things that other people sometimes think are, oh, how do you do that? I think we all can agree. How do you maintain your composure on a field with 90,000 people screaming? How, talk about pressure. And that goes for, like, you know, basketball. Well, the national championship game on Monday night, all you have to do is just dial back to that and go, these are 18 and 19-year-old kids. How do you have composure? And the great thing about watching college ball, which I think is great, and that includes pro as well, but college in particular, they're kids. And then all of a sudden, some rise to the occasion, some don't. And it's not like it makes them bad people. It's just the pressure is enormous. And to see them be able to do it is incredible. So, you know, if you get a chance to go see somebody like that and shake their hand, I always try to.
And I think one of the things we talk about on the show here, because the Lobos are so loved, the basketball team.
Right, absolutely.
We almost treat them as if they're professional athletes. And you forget, you know, they're student athletes. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, you think about the kid that, he's from Hawaii. He's the backup quarterback in Alabama. Yeah, and he comes in. You know, second half of a game, you're down 13. It's Alabama. It's the national championship game. He gets sacked, second and 26, and he throws this 41-yard bomb for the game winner. You're like, really?
You see that picture from the end zone when it comes? It's like he can't even see him. He's just hauling that ball off, and it's this tight. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you wrote that for a Hollywood movie, no one would believe it.
Yeah.
And look, I got no love lost for Alabama. I'm a Penn Stater, so, you know, I cannot help but admire Nick Saban for having the guts to say, you sit, you stand. Yeah. You know what
something,
I mean?
Something about those left-handers. They make it look so smooth.
Right?
I don't know what it is.
It's good, though.
So you grew up in Pennsylvania. You're a Steelers fan. We're talking with Patrick Fabian. He's the lawyer Howard Hamlin on the hit series Better Call Saul. He says, hey, if you got any questions, you want to join the program, give us a call, 994-1017. He's going to hang out for a couple of segments with us here on the program. When did you know you wanted to get into acting?
I played midget football when we all were midgets, and then I didn't grow. Everybody else did, and I stopped playing sports for a while. Uh-huh. And I got into music and band and theater and all that stuff in high school. So in high school, I was, as my wife likes to say, when my wife and I first started dating, she's like, so what were you doing in high school and that sort of thing? I'm like, oh, I was president of the band. And she's like, you say that as if you're proud, you know, because I understand the whole band geek sort of thing, but that's what I was. I was president of the geeks. And
Mike was in the band too.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Yeah, so I had a great time doing that. And I learned a lot about, you know, putting on a show, getting it together, being a part of something bigger than yourself. Kind of like sports, only a little more musical. Yeah. So that's how I really started.
So you've been doing this a long time. Stage, television, all these things, movies. You've been doing all these things. How did getting hooked up with Better Call Saul, how did that change your career and the exposure you've gotten from that?
Well, it's nice to be on a hit, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. And working with Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould and that whole brain trust over there, it's basically the brain trust that created Breaking Bad. And so it's so great to be a part of something that, honestly, I show up, put on that suit and say those words as written, and I don't get myself in the way, and things seem to be working out good. Because I have been around for a long time, and, you know, different shows have different flavors and different fun. But without a doubt, this is one of the highest level things I've ever worked at. And also, you know, as opposed to going through airports like I used to, because I've been on a lot of things. I've been the bad guy in all the CSIs. I was on Saved by the Bell. I've been on Xena and Star Trek and Will and Grace and Friends. So people kind of think they know you, but you would get a lot of the walking through the airport and they go, hey, did I go to high school with you? And now it's shifted a little bit more and people start shouting out, hey, Howard, where's your suit? That sort of thing. So it's fun.
Is it all scripted? Is there any ad lib in there? And how long does it take you to memorize lines? I'm always curious about that.
You know, it all depends how much you have, I guess. And different people memorize differently in different ways. In the end, it's kind of like if you're a plumber, you need to know what tools you need to do to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And if you're an actor, you need to figure out how to memorize. However that tool works for you. Some people like to record it. Some people just naturally have a photographic memory.
Who are the stars in Hollywood that aren't very good at memorizing lines, and there's somebody off camera feeding them to them every other line?
I'm not throwing anybody in the bus here, but I know that Marlon Brando famously, there's a great picture of The Godfather and what's his face? From Apocalypse Now, he plays the lawyer. He's going to kill me for not even knowing that. There's a great picture of him wearing a suit, and he's got a cue card taped to his chest because Marlon Brando is reading the words off of it. You know who I'm talking about? I'm going to kill myself.
He's probably Googling it right now.
Yeah.
So around Albuquerque, I mean, this is first time you came to Albuquerque. You were doing a show here, but then you came back now with Better Call Saul. Martin Sheen, Robert Duvall. That's
Robert Duvall. Yeah. If he's listening, he can punch me the next time he sees me spacing on his name.
He probably would. Yeah. walking around Albuquerque now, I mean, what the city means to you now, because it's such a part of Better Call Saul and it was Breaking Bad. I mean, that's why a lot of people, I think, here tune into it because they want to see those different locations around town that are used in the
First time I came in from the airport and I saw the Crossroads Hotel. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's there. And then I came to the hot dog place on Central. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's there.
Uh-huh.
You know, all those things have been so iconic. And, you know, HHM is actually a law office over on Jefferson. And, I mean, the silliest thing in the world is standing up there as we're playing pretend lawyers, making the real lawyers wait until we say cut. It's, you know, it's that absurdity of the moment.
Yeah.
And yet it's really fun.
How has your character changed in terms of the perception with the public out there? Because even my wife says, I don't know if I like that guy, but she's seen you on some other things now. There was the show on AMC where you guys sat around and talked about the show.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, Saul. Sure.
I really love that guy now.
Well, you know, at first, it was very much set up that I was sort of the, well, you know, Jimmy McGill, who's Bob Odenkirk's character before he becomes
Slippin'
Saul
Jimmy.
Goodman. Slippin' Jimmy.
Yep.
You know, he refers to me as Darth Vader. And when the lead character who you're behind, which is Jimmy, calls another character Darth Vader, the whole audience is like, oh, I'm not going to like him. And so basically everything that I did at that point, especially in the first season, sort of added to the case against me. So like the internet was just like, you know, F Howard and, you know, I hate you and da, 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 da. And then towards the end of the first season, when you realize that Chuck is kind of a problem, Jimmy's brother, the internet's like, oh, sorry about that. Maybe Chuck's the problem. And so now people are sort of behind me, but they don't know what to do at this
yeah.
point. But it's great because it used to, you know, getting hate from 14-year-olds can wear on your soul.
Has Howard ever broken the law?
Howard knows how to cross his T's and dot his I's, and he would like to answer that question only if his own counsel is present. Thank you very much.
And does Howard have anything, you know, for Waxman? What's her first name?
Kim Wexler.
Kim Wexler.
Oh, you know, the internet also really, they're trying to say that we've got a thing going. I think Howard's a little too old.
But you're married, right? You got a ring on your finger.
I have a ring on my finger, and we have not revealed exactly who she is yet. And maybe that'll happen this season.
So I always hear this, maybe this will happen. We're not sure.
Sure.
How in on the scripts are you guys that are actually playing the characters? Do you know what's going to happen? Or is it you find out just before you're going out there and taping these things?
We started shooting this Monday,
uh-huh.
the first episode of season 4, and I got the script for it probably a week before that. So I don't know any storylines that are going on. I don't know, like, what's going to happen with Howard by the end of the season, and I certainly don't know other people. I know generalizations, which, as an actor, I like that, because
yeah.
in the end, you can't play the end before the beginning. You got to play as it comes. But, of course, it's tantalizing to be like, ooh, what's this? Ooh, what's that? And I know people want to know, like, who's coming in and who's not coming in. And, you know, the one answer I have to that is, well, we're getting closer and closer to the beginning of when Breaking Bad starts taking place. And as we saw last year, you know, Gus Fring is now a part of this world.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think he's going to be exiting this world anytime soon. So there's a lot in store, without a doubt.
All right, so you're going to hang around for another segment.
Yeah,
if you've got a question for Patrick Fabian, he's joined us here in studio. He's Howard Hamlin on the hit series Better Call Saul. He's cool with taking some phone calls. So if you've got a question for Patrick, please feel free to call. 994-1017 is the phone number. You're obviously a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Absolutely.
So we've got these four playoff games this weekend.
Right, we can talk football.
We're going to go over those. I need your predictions on these things, okay? Your
all
take
right.
on the Steelers and what they're going to do this weekend. So,
all right.
Stay tuned. 994-1017 is the number. It's The Locker Room on ESPN Radio, 1017 The Team.
You drink one, drink two, drink three Long Island iced teas. But your buddy's worse off when he throws you his car keys. Blue lights are blinking 4 o'clock in the morning. State Trooper makes you wish that you'd never been born. Better call Saul, better call Saul. You want to tell the world you're in love with a girl named Fran. So you find an overpass and you say it with a spray paint can. Blue lights start a-blinking, those handcuffs click. You know who to call, and you better call quick. Saul, Saul, you better call Saul. You'll fight for your rights when your back's to the wall. Stick it to the man, justice for all. You better call Saul.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Jonathan Banks from Better Call Saul, and you're listening to The Locker Room.
Shopping at the Walmart, short just a couple of beans. There's a George Foreman grill down the back of your blue jeans.